2012, 7th of November, Bible study.
What did you preach on Sunday? Well, you know, I followed the theme, peace. And we talked about peace being not by ruled by emotional things of the emotions around us, didn't we? Mm-hmm. We talked about the fact that peace actually dwells within, because the Prince of Peace should be dwelling right within us at this time. And I thought to myself, yeah, it's a while since I've been challenged on my own message. You know, there's been times in the past where I used to preach from one psalm, and a few times, and I used to remember every time I preached on that, from a certain psalm, that topic, the next week was like all hell broke loose. And I got to admit, in the end, I quit preaching on it. I can't remember what it was now, but
delight yourself in the Lord.
And it was like, I used to get challenged that week. I would have an horrendous week. And I used to think, I preached that psalm again, didn't I? And you know, the enemy, God will allow the enemy to test you.
Yeah,
it's going to be proved. You know, when you, if you look in the old days, a sword that was manufactured by the blacksmith, etc., it had to be proved before it went into battle, didn't it?
Mm-hmm. It did.
No point in taking it with you, and then the first time you strike somebody, it shatters in. Into pieces. It's great. That's going to be a good sword, that, isn't it?
Mm.
You know, you're a sitting target after that. So it had to be tested in battle, prepared and checked that it was up to the quality for the knight to use. And in the same way, the Word of God, when it starts to grow and be shaped in us, there's a testing that goes on at times. And is this Word going to work in you? And not only, in some cases, like, not only are we preaching it, but are we living it? Challenging.
We got near the edge today.
We did. We stood on the edge, but we didn't jump off the edge.
No.
We maintained the peace levels. Like, well, what's the point? It's not going to change anything in the end. So we just said, okay, that's just got to do it. And just let God. God's got to do what he's got to do. He's in control in the end.
Mm.
And we just rejoice in him and give him praise, don't we?
It's only to make us grow, isn't it, really? That's all it's for.
Yes.
Because I know Joel says that sometimes you don't get encouraged sometimes, and God's stopping people from encouraging you, so you grow up instead of depending on people, you know,
yeah,
patting your back on, and then you've got to learn to grow up. And
you have.
That's
so,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, it's that's an emotion, isn't it? That to be patted on the back is an emotion of like...
Yeah.
Feel-good factor, you know.
Yeah.
But there are times when, as you rightly say, we have to go through these things and grow up. And whether somebody pats us on the back and says, oh, that was wonderful, or we're not doing it to please man, are we?
No.
In the end, we don't serve man. Therefore, when it comes down to the accolades of man, this shouldn't mean anything to us, because we're not serving man.
No.
We're not a slave to sin, because if we're serving man, we're a slave to sin. We're a slave to humanity, aren't we?
Mm.
But we're actually serving God. And so all the accolades, all that God has got for us, will be given to us at due time.
Mm.
And but it's nice sometimes when somebody says, thank you very much, I really appreciate that, what you did today, etc. And it is, there's no doubt about it, because we do at times all need encouraging, but there are times, as you rightly said, John, when it's like you've got to go through this one on your own, and you come out the other side victorious, because the sword cannot always be relying on some other support, can't stay in its sheath to protect it. So that's a nice hilt to that sword, isn't it? Very nice. It has to be thrust into the battle at some stage. And in the same way, we have to go through some of those processes ourselves. So we will pray sometime this evening for Doncaster. Pray for us as we prepare for Africa. Yes, and then Claire is getting very near. I didn't realise until just the other day that the baby might arrive whilst we're in Africa. But then again, it might be a couple of three days late.
If it comes on African time, you'll be
back. 6 months. Can you hear what they're saying? So praise God. So, you know, there are some things to be praying for and to be thoughtful about. And then whilst we're away, we shall be praying for you, and believe God will bless you mightily.
Amen.
And
increase.
Yeah.
Spiritual and numerical and in every way. I was reading notes from Sunday last night, and it didn't dawn on me. I'd written it down, but it didn't really dawn on me on Sunday. But it was when the disciples were in the boat panicking and Jesus was asleep. When Jesus stood up and said, "Peace, be still," and it says immediately everything subsided, and then straight away they were at the other side.
Yep.
And you said, why were they at the other side? And it's because the battle was over and peace reigned. And I thought, do you know, immediately we get into peace about a situation and we've got the victory, the devil can't wind us up on it anymore, because we know what we know what we know, and we're totally in victory, and peace comes, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Then the battle's finished.
I've got some scriptures I need to share.
You're at the other side. Straight away, it's all, even if it's not finished in the natural,
yeah,
it's finished.
Spiritually, it's finished.
It's well, finished, that, and that's all that matters.
That's where Romans 16 and verse 20 comes,
mm,
and really stands. It's always stood as a scripture for a long time to me. I mean, I must have had this scripture given to me over 10 years ago, at least. And it came into its fullness, you know, at a critical time. And the God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath your feet. And God said to me, you've got to take your hands off everything, and you've got to have my peace. And when my peace is in you, then I'll deal with it. But until that point in time, you're dealing with it. But when you let go of it and you grab hold of God, when you grab hold of that peace of God inside you, then he's dealing with it from then on. And that is so important, that we learn to let that happen. It's a powerful time. So,
can I share some scriptures with you all? Because I've been studying about peace and things all week.
Praise God.
But these really did, I thought, wow, these are wonderful. The first one is 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 11. And it says, "Seek peace, seek, crave, pursue, go after it." And it's like giving us a responsibility. Peace with God, peace with yourself, and peace with your fellow man.
Mm-hmm.
This as well, I love this one. John chapter 14, verse 27. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Wow.
Yeah, that's right.
And the last one, which is John 16, verse 33. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now, let me tell you, what scripture is that one again?
The last one.
Yeah.
John 16, verse 33.
Right. This is what happens with most Christians today. And Jesus says, "These things have I spoken to you, that in me you may have peace."
Mm.
In Jesus, he's the Prince of Peace. So we're back to what we were on Sunday. He's the Prince of Peace. And he said, so that's in Jesus. And then he says, in the world, we know what the world's like. That's where our emotions get tied up in.
Yeah.
In the world, in the emotional side of life, you will have tribulation. And most Christians stop at that point and believe in tribulation. That's their lifestyle. And they stop at that. Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulation. That it is it's a partially a true statement. But he carries on. And he says, but.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's powerful, that word.
Oh, yeah.
But.
Yes. I have overcome the world.
Take courage. I have overcome the world. And so what is he saying to us? He's saying that if you move back to the beginning of the verse and have the Prince of Peace living in you, then he's already overcome the world. So because he's living in you and you're living in him, guess what? You've already conquered.
I've already got it.
Mm-hmm.
You've already conquered. You've already got it. That's absolutely true. And so, yeah, there is tribulation in the world. But Jesus has overcome it.
Yeah.
And the Christ is in you, and you're in Christ. And so the things that are in the world that seek to stress us, raise our blood pressure, and in raising our blood pressure, it wants to kill us. Is that not true?
Mm-hmm.
High blood pressure will destroy you. Watched a program, part of a program the other night, some of you may have watched it, the Hammond.
American.
Yeah, and he was looking at this new suit that they've developed for pilots to fly in.
That giraffe suit.
The giraffe suit. And I think this is amazing. They deny God. They look at then the animals who they think evolved, which God created. And the giraffe has because of its long neck, its tremendously long neck, and obviously its brain's at the top of its head, the top of its neck, it has to have tremendous blood pressure to get the blood blood to go up to the brain and circulate round and to come back. So by the time it gets up there, the pressure's reduced because of it trying to get up there, you see. But down here, down in, you know, round about its heart level, it's seven times greater than ours, the blood pressure.
Yeah.
Now the problem is that when it comes to eat and drink, it has to put its head down to drink and eat, which is now below its heart. So the blood pressure would actually burst its brain.
This is amazing.
So God has created this giraffe so that when it brings its head down, there are
muscles
in the neck that actually then squeeze and prevent the blood pressure from rising to that sort of level. It reduces the blood pressure. So now they've developed a new flying suit which allows them to pull 8 and 9 G, and it squeezes certain areas of the body to stop the blood from leaving the brain, because that's what happens with the G. There's no blood in the brain, it gets thrown back down to the rest of the body, and then that's when they black out. So now they're squeezing the body so it keeps the blood pressure up and keeps the blood in the brain so they can function, you see. And they're using giraffe technology, or let's put it another way, they're using God technology.
Amen.
And they're just saying that, you know, aren't we wonderful that, you know, we've discovered this? And It was like we were talking about the aeroplanes, weren't we, some weeks back? The large winged aeroplane, they suddenly realised that by putting, they could shorten the length of the wing by putting these little winglets at the end, which disturbed the air just enough, that actually gave the plane extra lift. And they discovered that by observing the birds that would soar, the eagles, and watch their feathers. And they noticed that just the tips of their feathers would come up and turn up, and that was what was keeping them up in the air. It's like, this is amazing. And so man is learning from creation.
Yeah.
And they say, oh, it's just evolved. Well, I thought we were the smart ones.
Obviously.
We brag and say, oh, you know, we're super intelligent. And yet it's like, no, there is another intelligent being that actually created all these things so that you might find them out.
Yes.
You know, and it's like, this is... And so I found it quite funny at times, and yet interesting to see God's creation to a greater depth of importance and intricacy about it.
There was the woodpecker.
Yes, then they did something about the woodpecker, and he bangs his head against this tree, and if you did it, your brain would become mush. The force. And the brain in the woodpecker has four different substances within it to protect it. And it was like absolutely amazing how all these work. So they actually decided to develop something and try it out. Put a little light bulb in and sent it to the outer space and then let it come falling down at Mach 1 just over, and it hit the earth and pulled the light bulb out and put it back in, and it lit up, the filament lit up and everything, and it's like,
using God technology.
Again, it's God technology.
I wonder what they think the giraffe evolved from.
I have no idea.
Program not long since on tour, there were these two scientists, a woman and a man. I didn't watch, just saw a trailer of it, and they said they were supposed to be uncovering our ancestors. We're only about this big. I don't know what they look like because I didn't watch it, but I thought, these are your ancestors. And I thought, was it Abraham or
something?
Because I'd
watch
it before, but not.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, not for the reasons they want you to watch this program with Hammond, but it's fascinating because when you see the detail and the knowledge that God has got, and the intricacy with which He formed all creation, and how He made provision for every action of that mammal or bird or whatever, it just.
Well, you never think about giraffe, how it, about its brain.
No, take it for granted, it swings its neck over.
It lives, it eats, it moves, it does all the right sort of things. It survives, doesn't it? It's survived for hundreds of years, sort of thing. It's like, well, God knew what you were doing when He created it, when He made it. He made it for a purpose. And
look, when birds fly thousands of miles and they know where they're going, they'll just go everywhere. Exactly.
Tiny little thing.
Yeah, 5,000. You know, swallows. I mean, this is it. We have swallows in England, and then they've already left now, and they're on the way to South Africa.
Yeah.
They'll be there before we get to.
Yeah.
But it's amazing, and they go back to the same places. And they, you know, they come here, back here. They have chicks, and those chicks. What does a parent do? Says, "Now this is the route we're taking. All right, have you got your sat nav? Let me just program your sat nav in for you, love, before you fly." They just get up and go. They know. It's a little bit, I suppose. They fly by faith, because we walk by faith.
Yes.
Because we've never seen God. And at this point, we've never seen Jesus. But we know that we know that we know in here that He's real. And we know there is an eternal destination for us in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
See, and we know within, through our faith, that we have eternal life in Christ Jesus. These birds know exactly where to go.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's from their root, from their seed, And when the seed of Christ is placed in us, we know that we know we're saved.
You can't tell
and
me.
We know we have a destiny. And you can't convince me God does not heal.
No.
There are instances when I don't see people healed straight away, and there are people that are still not healed. But that does not change what I believe.
No. Nope.
Because I've seen people healed.
Yeah.
And so, just because I see some failures, temporary failures would be a better word to use, temporary failures along the way, do I give up?
No.
I press on to the prize, Paul says, for the high calling in Christ Jesus. I run the race. I'm not going to give up. I'm not giving up.
It's in God's time, isn't it?
That's so often it is in God's time, and all we're doing is we just want to be the vessel. And if it's God's time and we connect with God and with that person and God does it, that's fantastic. And so that's wonderful. But when it doesn't work for whatever reason, we still press on, we still keep praying, because otherwise we would give up and we would never pray again. We'd never do any. How many times have you tried to do something and failed?
Well, it's been just today.
Well, yes, yeah, we could. Maybe we could just manage counting the number of times we've tried to do something today and failed.
Yeah.
We could probably count them maybe on one hand or two hands, sort of thing, you know. But if we went further than that, well, we'd have a big challenge. But yeah, but so. Does that mean just because it doesn't work, we give up? Your phone.
Oh no,
yeah.
What am I going to do? You don't give up, do you?
No.
Computer.
You know. Don't chuck it out the window.
Not yet.
It starts again.
But. You know, we keep pressing in, don't we? We do it again. You won't remember the first time that you tried to walk. Will you?
I guarantee I fell flat on my face.
It'll be a fact that you fell on fell on your bottom. Well padded, you know. Boom. Did that then? Did you say, well, can't walk? I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to try again. I can't walk, so I'm not going to do it again.
First you don't succeed, try again.
Exactly. I took exams and failed them. So what are you going to do?
Take them again.
I did. And I passed them next time. I flew through them next time. Mm. I made sure that I did not make the same mistakes.
Mm. You see, a lot of people, when things happen, they say, oh, why has God done them? They blame God for everything, don't they?
It's easy to blame somebody
ill,
else.
Or an accident, or you blame God. I mean, before I become a Christian, I've always believed in God.
Mm.
Always, no matter what's happened to me. And I've had quite a lot of things happen to me, haven't I?
Yeah, you have, yeah.
But I've never, ever given up. I've always prayed on that. Never given up on God.
Mm. Number of times I end up back in this particular chapter in the Bible, but 1 John chapter 4, but this time it's only verse 4, and it says, you are from God, little children, and have overcome them.
Amen.
Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
I love that. I really do love that.
You know, again, we're back to Sunday. Where is the Prince of Peace? John 4:1-4 says, verse 4 says, he's in you. Greater is he that is in you, the Prince of Peace, the conqueror, the more than conqueror, Christ Jesus. And so, we're overcomers. We've already overcome the world. So you don't. It throws up at you and it tries to draw you out. It tries to draw your attention. It tries to bring you to a point of unbelief.
Mm.
bring you to a point where you don't believe anymore that you can do it. But we know we talked about that, didn't we? And the disciples, and the big problem of unbelief is that lack of faith, and the way to beat that is to start praying and fasting, if that's the case. And get yourself into the Word of God and get the Word into you, and this world will change. Things around you will change. Well, it won't not always directly change, but you change first. You are in control of you, not your emotions, not what is going on outside. That is not what should be in control of you, because within you, thank you, when there's a tornado, it comes rushing through, but they say right in the centre of the tornado, it's absolutely peaceful.
The eye of the storm.
The eye of the storm, as it's called. And it's absolutely peaceful. And then it moves on and it brings there's chaos. So we need to, again, it's about this centre. Who's your centre?
Uh-oh.
Who is your centre?
God.
Christ has to be the centre of all things.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, God. But Christ is the centre of all things.
He is.
All things flow out of him. And with Christ in the centre of our lives, the Prince of Peace, we have this peace. Now, the enemy wants to disturb the peace. He will seek to throw sickness. He will seek to throw circumstances. He will look for a weak point, for a chink in your armour, to attack you. And we're all different. And we all have different chinks in our armour. So he's going to go for different chinks in the armour to try and disturb your peace.
And people do it to you, don't they?
He uses people.
He uses people, that's right.
Yeah, he uses people to take your peace away, yeah.
But this is again where we're back to that. So you just let these people pass, let it pass by.
Yeah.
People say, oh, well, you should have said something. No, sometimes it is better to keep your counsel. What does it say in Proverbs about a fool can look wise by keeping his mouth shut, basically, is one of the sort of the sayings. But you can be made a fool by much speaking. You know, they're talking a lot of gibberish. Mm-hmm. People know you're a fool. But even a fool, if he keeps his mouth shut, actually could look very intelligent in front of people.
Yeah, so, I used to think, well, you know, if I don't say anything, kind of like a mouse in a doormat. I don't think that anymore.
No. You see, there's a time when we need to speak. There's a time to speak. There's a time to be silent.
Yeah. And there's a way to say it as well.
And there is, there's a way to say it.
You know, wanting to say to someone, well, you know, I don't like being treated like this.
Yeah.
But you have to say it in a peaceful, calm.
I was just going
to
say exactly, it's this inner peace that, you know.
You've got to say it peacefully and calm, because then it'll go into that person that they won't know, they'll be shocked. Really, at your peace, instead of you shouting and carrying on.
Yeah.
Proverbs says, "Don't a quiet answer turns away wrong."
That's right. Yeah, and so you see, peace is a quiet answer, and so the peace of God is indwelling in each and every one of us. And the devil wants to disturb your peace.
Yeah.
He'll use families.
Mm.
He'll use your family. He'll use circumstances in your family.
That's right.
If you're God's money, you'll use money. If he can try and waste your time because you know you have a busy day, he'll seek to wind you up and waste your time, because he knows if he can get you to a certain pitch, you'll crack. You'll say something you regret or do something you shouldn't have done, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, and then when you've done it, he's got me again.
Mm.
But then, you know, it's learning that no. You stop yourself before you wear the giraffe suit, keeps the blood pressure down as you start to rise, and let God begin. But it's this Prince of Peace. It's, if you want, we wear this suit of peace now that maintains us and keeps us, holds us in perfect harmony with God, and we move in that level and see God changing things.
It's Isaiah that says, "Thou will keep him in
perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on Thee." And again, you see, the devil wants to distract your mind from God. And the moment that, and we've said it, when your mind starts thinking of things, night time's one of the best ones, isn't it? Just as you think you're going to go off to sleep, where did that come from? And something starts to trouble you. And you can guarantee it will try and trouble you all night. If it starts at night, it's going to try and stay with you all night so that you lose sleep.
It's one of the worst times, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. But you see, again, you take the scripture. That if your mind is stayed on God, he'll keep you in perfect peace.
He will, yeah.
But you see, the moment we begin to be distracted by the things of the world, the worries and the cares of this world, we become like the world. We become worried, we become fretful, we become anxious. And the Word of God says, be anxious for nothing.
Well, you see, if you keep it at peace, you know, if you feel peaceful about it and what you're saying, you know you've said the right thing, you know you've acted right, because when you lose your peace and you're shouting or whatever you are at this person, you do feel condemned, don't you? You condemn yourself, put yourself under condemnation.
And you see, really, very often, that when you're in that frame of mind, you're not thinking straight.
No, you see, and you won't, and the devil will be.
And you can't, and you can't find the answer to the problem.
No.
But when you maintain peace and you listen to God, you listen with your spirit, not with your emotional mind, at what is going on around, because that will distract you from what God is trying to say to you. The devil fights for the high place.
Every time
he starts an attack, he will start to assault your mind, the high places. And so the responsibility is that you and I have to protect the high place, and that's why we have a helmet of salvation. Salvation is the Word of God to us. Salvation is a complete work that is done for us, and the process is still ongoing. Thank God for that. Not finished with me yet. Still ongoing. And so, but it's the Word of God that keeps the process ongoing.
Yeah.
If we stop feeding on the Word, the process will come to a halt, really. And then we will struggle. We'll end up finding ourselves being defeated on circumstances and situations. But when we keep the Word of God in us, the Word says that we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, who strengthens us. Now, how does he strengthen us? He strengthens us by this Word. He is the Word. He's in us. And we read the Word. So when we read the Word, we're just enforcing, we're encouraging, we're putting more of Christ in us. And giving and breathing life into our very spirit, to our very soul. And even if the doctors come up with a diagnosis or a prognosis, whatever they want to call it at times, you can turn to the Word and start to use the Word to change the destiny.
Amen.
Start using the Word. This is what God says. And this is final.
Yeah.
This Word is final.
Yeah.
I'm not the sick, I'm the healed.
Amen.
I shall not die, but I shall live.
Amen.
And so we take that Word and we begin to use that Word.
She says, as a man in his heart is a thinker, so is he. So if you're speaking it and thinking it, then it works for you.
That's right.
It does, yeah.
If you think of concerned things and it brings you to a worry and brings you to fret, brings stress levels, what does that do? Raises blood pressure, etc., etc. Before you know where you are, you've had a cardiac arrest. And
I get so physically tired as well. That's what I've put myself through.
Yeah.
Well, that's right. Worry drains you in the natural, physically, doesn't it? You know, you start fretting and worrying, and you're exhausted by the end of the day with it. And physically, you've done nothing. But that energy that it has drained from you. But when you're resting in peace, you're not using any energy. You're absorbing the energy of God.
Mm.
You're absorbing from the Spirit. And you go through the day and it's like, wow, what a day. All day I've been in the presence of God. Yeah, there's been some issues. But all day I've been in the presence of God. Resting in His presence.
Wonderful.
Yeah, there's been a few little peaks and it's like, you know, no, just let's maintain this. Check my blood pressure the other day. No problem.
Mm.
Never mind what the diagnosis was. No problem. Starting to rest in God. And sometimes you have to realise that you have to put God first before certain other things of the world, and focus on God and let the word work on you. And sometimes there are things that are going to have to go by, and you're just going to have to say, can't do it this time. Somebody wanted me to do something this Saturday, it's like, can't do it. Don't ring me on Saturday.
Sometimes you have to say no, don't you?
Exactly, yeah. Because sometimes there's a bigger plan that one has to, and you can be distracted and drawn away from what God wants you to be doing and preparing for. And seek ye for, we're back to that one, aren't we? There's some key scriptures that we've locked in on this year. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Seek ye first the King of the kingdom of God.
Oh, yes.
And His righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. You know, just thought on. When he came up with that extra edition of seek ye first the King of the kingdom. Who is the King? He's the Prince of Peace.
Mm-hmm.
See how they're tying together?
Mm.
He's the Prince of Peace, so seek ye first the King of the kingdom of God, because He's the Prince of Peace, and
yeah.
He will give to you all that you have need of.
He will.
He's the provider. He's the one who brings to you and me. And it is, we don't, you know, these verses of Scripture are miles apart from one another, but yet they are still connected.
Mm.
They are connected, and when they connect together, they increase the power that is flowing through them. Bill knows that if you get very thin wire and you try and put a lot of voltage through it, what's going to happen to it?
Burns up, right?
It just burns up, and there's no connection, is there? So, but if you were to get 10 wires and wind them together, what happens?
It'll carry a bit more current.
It'll carry more current, that's right. And so you and I have to realise that as we get deeper into the Word of God and God begins to build us and we begin to grow, then as we grow, as our faith grows, it's like winding some more wire together. It's like British ropes when they made ropes down there. You know, they've got these strands, and a strand on its own will snap quite easily. But there's a technique of winding them together, and suddenly three strands can pull more. It more than triples in strength, because
three-stranded cord is not easily broken.
And that's right. Scripture says a three-stranded cord is not easily broken. But they developed they understood this, and when they wound it together in a certain way, the strength wasn't just three times stronger. It was much, much more stronger.
Does it multiply?
Yeah,
multiplied by.
I don't know what it's multiplied by, but it's certainly multiplied.
I can't remember.
And you see that how these things spiritually can be applied to us, that you and I come together in God and we approach God together and we seek God together, we are conductors of the power and presence of God. But in our own lives, as we spend time in his presence, we grow in the strength and to carry the presence. Because you are the Bible talks about you and I as being an earthen vessel. What have we got inside?
God.
We're carrying the anointing. Carrying the anointing. Jesus was the anointed one. Christ means the anointed one. So if you've got Christ in you, you've got the anointing in you.
Yes.
You've got Christ in you. Carry his very presence. In fact, you are his very presence. If we push it even further, it's not an exaggeration. You are the presence of Christ.
Well, if he's the head and I'm the body, what's the difference?
There is none. It's all connected. It all flows.
Yeah.
Don't it?
Yeah.
All flows.
He says, don't it, in him we live and move and have our being.
Absolutely we do. And that's the truth. And do you know something, Joan? It's for eternity.
Amen.
Tabin and I were talking on the way down to Teen Challenge. It was probably the best conversation I've had with him ever. And he was asking things about the Word of God, and he was talking about the Word of God. He was talking about creation on the way down and asking about various script things in the Bible. And we had a great time of just sharing the Word of God. And he's suddenly, just this last couple of weeks, I think, really started to focus and grow. I noticed the other Wednesday when he was here, he sat at the side of me, and now and again I said something, and all of a sudden I saw him make a note to something, and I thought, wow, that was a move forward. You know, I thought, wow, what's he written there? You know, and he actually remembered things. He was quoting things back to me that we'd said.
Good.
So I thought, praise God, that's good. So the Christ, I believe, is growing and coming within him to that point where he's going to come through. But all the time, it's without this word, we've got nothing. Without it, we're lost. And we're just floating along and going nowhere.
I think he was sorry to leave us. I think he was going to miss us, because he came up to me and Christine, didn't he?
Oh,
they were wanting to come for a hug, you know. And
I thought that was wonderful. Oh, yeah. Coming.
Oh. They were looking, and they were looking for other people to, you know. And I thought, oh,
yeah.
Wasn't
that was nice.
Yeah, and it would be good. On that subject, it would be good that if occasionally either drop him a card, or
I was thinking that,
write him a letter, I'll get the address.
Some postcard from
yeah.
Work,
yeah.
Don't we?
Yeah, and just encourage him along the way.
That'd be nice.
And just so that he'll stay focused and realise that, you know, although he's away, people still are thinking about him and pray for him.
We're missing him.
Yeah, that's right.
It mean
yeah.
a lot to him.
It will. Yeah. Because you see, his connections, really, I suppose, within his own family group and network, not a lot.
Yeah.
There's not a lot going on in the relationship, I don't think. So to begin to receive some love and some affection from other people, I know it's emotion, but hey, we're all emotional in certain areas. But you know, they say the touch. You know, actually touching somebody, it can be very, very sort of healing and encouraging to them. Like you said at the beginning, a pat on the back.
Oh, it can, can't
it? It can. When, you know, people feel that there's a real concern, there's a thoughtfulness and an understanding. And why did God come down to the garden every day at the cool of Eden? He came down to have that time of fellowship. So was it just, you know, a distance that they kept? No, because Adam was sinless and spotless. So was Eve. There was no sin in them. So it was probably a tactile, hey, Adam, how are you doing? What have you been doing today?
Well, even the father of the prodigal ran to meet him and embraced him.
Well, he says he embraced his neck, didn't he?
Yeah,
you know,
he did.
Grabbed hold of him and embraced him. You see, that is a picture of God looking for you.
Yeah.
Looking for the lost one.
Mm-hmm. Out of the lost sheep.
Exactly. And so it is this constant contact. And Jesus came to show how the Father really reacts to his to his own children. That's why Jesus laid hands on people, brought healing to people, brought the good news, fed people, did all. He says, I only do what I see the Father do.
Yeah.
You see?
And he healed all that came to him.
There you go. So that's God.
So
that's the very picture of God. Jesus came to paint this massive picture of saying, this is who God really is. It is not the God that the Pharisees have told you about.
No.
It is not the God that the Philistines have told you about, or what the Egyptians have told you about, because they had hundreds of gods. And when Moses, I mean, I love to preach this one someday, when Moses came out of Egypt, if you remember, how many plagues were there?
Ten
plagues. Each of those plagues was directly directed against one of the key gods that the Egyptians worshipped. In other words, every time Moses came and brought a plague, it was to say, this is what God thinks to your God, and your God can't do nothing about it. And this is how powerful your God is. The Nile was classed as a god. So what did he do to it? Turned it to blood.
Mm-hmm.
And everywhere they dug, started digging for water, came up blood red. Distasteful. Couldn't drink anything. It was a god to them. So God sent the living God, sent his servant Moses and said, destroy it. And all he did was put his hands over the water and spoke. That was it. Job done. I just think it's amazing. Absolutely amazing. And this is, you see, God is about restoring this relationship of love and friendship with each and every one of us, building us and equipping us to keep carrying this anointing to a greater level. Because Christ is in you, the hope of glory. It is Christ who resides in each and every one of us. But the devil wants to rock you and cause you not to believe this. Distract you. No matter... You'll find a way. Car breakdown, computer breakdown, you know. Bank money goes missing out your bank account. You're not feeling well for whatever reason, and somebody comes in and brings a family argument, and you think, where did that come from? And all these things coming in it from many different angles. And all you have to do is pray. It's like a force field. And you're sat in the centre of all of this, with a God of peace, and it's all going on around you, swirling around you. Things are being flopped. When you know, when a tornado comes through, it throws things all over the place, doesn't it? Rips things to pieces, throws them all over the place. But in the eye of the storm, there's absolute peace. So when you get into the centre of God, that peace begins to rule and reign. And we have to hand over the circumstances and situations. Lord, I've done all I can. Now I can't worry about it anymore.
At that point, all that you know is it's finished.
Exactly. You have to focus at that point and say, as Jesus did on the cross, his words were, it is finished. Now you and I would have looked at that, and the world looked at it and said, oh, it's finished, all right. That's called a wipeout. It's called a defeat. It's a failure.
It's amazing as well with what when you've got that peace, when I've had a situation, only the last few days and that, and I've had a situation, I've got to have that faith. And I thought, right, God, I can't do anything now. And you've got to actually leave it and think,
yep,
whatever you're doing, whether I'm cooking a bolognese, doing whatever I'm doing, God will sort it.
He will.
Because if I sit there and start worrying still again after I've prayed about it, and that's how it manifests, and I was...
That's right. You've taken it back to yourself.
Yeah.
You know, the Bible encourages, take your burdens to the cross and leave them there.
Oh, and it's amazing what peace, what comes over you.
Make sure you haven't had another rope on it just so you can drag
it
back, because, you know, you feel like it's a comfort blanket. Because it's not. We don't need these things.
See, can I say something? Because I've been tested this last few weeks over something, and I'm saying no, you know, and I'm not a no person, I'm a bit soft, you know, but I'm sticking to it. But this person said to me, well, that's not very Christian like
ah, you see that. That's the guilt. That's the line of guilt, you know. I'm going to rail you in with a guilt line.
Yeah,
got the bait
you,
on now. Come on, you know.
So how do you answer that?
That's their opinion. Do you have peace in your heart?
That's the key.
Yes, I do.
That's it.
The Bible says, let peace
be your umpire.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, the outsider thinks differently.
Yeah.
Okay?
Mm.
So, what decision we make, they think it's wrong.
Being horrible.
They do sometimes, they think you're being horrible.
They're thinking about me.
Well, no. The fact of what it is that we make a decision, and during making the decision, we have the peace of God, we make the right decision. If we're troubled within our spirit, then maybe we made the wrong decision, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if we settled at peace and don't let anybody bring in something to unsettle you, particularly an unbeliever.
Mm. They don't think like you.
They don't think like
no,
you.
No.
They're not wired the same, or you're not wired the same anymore. You've been rewired.
Mm.
You see? Praise
God. If you
don't
know what they want to do, you're sometimes a men pleaser, aren't you? Then when you do one thing, they want you to do another thing and another, and then you've still got to keep it up to keep them happy.
Yes, you have, John.
So true, John.
Really, that me being a Christian like I am and that is changing me to be able to say...
Yeah.
Absolutely.
No.
No.
Yeah.
Instead of being a yes
mm-hmm.
person.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Putting myself through it.
Yeah.
Yes.
And going back to what Andrew said earlier in 1 John chapter 4, the next verse to the one we read, verse 5, they are of the world,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Go on to verse 6.
I'm getting there. Verse 6, but we are of God.
Yeah.
He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So we can distinguish the difference between the two.
Yeah, we can.
Because we have the spirit of discernment as well.
We know between the spirit of truth, and truth will always maintain peace.
Mm, the room together.
Yeah. The spirit of error will bring turmoil,
mm-hmm.
will bring stress,
mm-hmm.
worry.
Manipulation.
Yeah, all sorts of things run with it. And so when that starts to happen, you know full well that if you run in that direction with that, you're running with the spirit of the world, not the spirit of God. But when you're in peace, people will throw stones at you verbally to destroy your peace. Well, let them get on with it.
Make you feel awful, as if you...
Yeah.
Make you feel guilty,
doesn't
it?
Guilty.
Yeah.
But you see...
Yeah. And you start feeling guilty, don't you?
But then you've got to come to the point...
I'm not going to do.
No.
I'm not.
You take the Word of God and you say, the Word of God says there is now no more condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, there's no more guilt
mm.
to those who are in Christ Jesus. If you've made a decision and you feel in your heart and hearts that you've done the right thing, and I believe, and the word of God will always weigh for us.
Mm.
If we're in the word and we're in prayer, when we make decisions, we will be at peace.
Mm.
Some decisions you make, and they have to be hard decisions.
Mm.
And to the world, it might seem, oh, that's a hard decision. I mean, I don't know how you can do that. And to be truthful, sometimes you don't know yourself how you can do that. You can only do it because that's what you feel the word is saying. And years, I mean, let's look at, you know me, if somebody wants me to pray for them, I'll pray for them, right?
Mm-hmm.
One of the biggest challenges was when one of Roy's daughter, well, Roy actually rang up first and said, will you come and pray for my daughter? She's in hospital. And I think Jackie Millward had done the same. They're all after me to go and pray. And immediately, I was about to say yes, no hesitation, and I distinctly heard the voice of God say to me, you're not going. Say no. Well, I said no. I couldn't go. I felt God was saying no. And when I put the phone down, I felt guilty initially.
Mm-hmm.
Because the nature of the Spirit of God wanted to minister God and to minister that healing. But God said, we're not doing it that way. And then a few days later, the daughter rang me. And again, will you come and pray for me? And God said to me, you're not going. I said, she needs to come to the house of God. She needs to hear the word of God. And then he said, then I'll heal her. And that's so I repeated it to her. And what happened? She came to the house of God. And that very day, God touched her and healed her and turned her around.
Amen.
And she was told she'd never have a job again, never work again. She's working. Because once I'd said no and heard God speak to me, I was at peace. Because I could have gone.
But you'd be going against God, wouldn't you?
But I'm going on my own.
You didn't know what he was doing, you see. You know what he was doing.
And I'd have gone on my own, and nothing, you know, in reality, probably nothing would have happened. Where would that have left her faith, and would she then have come to church?
Mm.
Probably not. So, sometimes it's a case of what we sometimes want to do within ourselves may not always be the best thing to do in that circumstance. So this is where the word of God, that spirit of peace, is the umpire.
Yeah, it is.
Well, yeah, because it hasn't bothered me.
Good.
So, I'm right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this is it.
Because I'm not thinking, oh, you know.
Yeah.
There's this something inside
that I'm
that
fine
says,
about it. I feel that I'm right.
Yep.
You know. And I feel peaceful about it. Mm. I don't feel, it hasn't made me feel all et up, you know how you do,
yep,
when you're
stressing out
about it. I haven't done so.
Praise God.
It's got to be right,
yeah,
hasn't it?
It has.
And that's where the word is our umpire. That, you know, it's the Spirit of God that brings that peace. And as it says in John's Gospel there, in 1 John 4, that we are from God. He who knows God listens to us. So what he's saying there is that another Christian, another person that knows God will listen to you.
Mm.
And will, when it means, will actually understand,
yeah,
you.
Yeah.
You can listen but not understand. But I think it really means when they'll listen to you, they'll understand. Because that same spirit in each and every one of us is going in the same direction. We're not going to clash. Mm. But we're going together in the same direction to build up and to do the right things. And so, and he says, but he who is not from God does not listen to us. Have you noticed that?
Oh yeah, because I've kept saying, Now, I don't think that's a very good idea.
Yeah, that's fine.
And I've had to keep repeating it.
Yeah.
So it's like I've had to keep repeating it.
You see, you're standing on what you believe. Yeah. You see, you're standing on your peace. If you move off your peace, you're moving onto sinking sand.
Yeah.
Because your peace is your rock. Mm. It's like the wise man who built his house upon the rock. Mm.
Yeah.
The foolish man built it on sinking sand. Sinking sand. What does it mean? It's always changing. It's always moving.
Mm.
Your emotions are always changing, they're always moving.
Yeah.
They'll take you all over.
Watching a football match, a man's emotions will be all over the place for a guy who's, you know, when he's watching his football team.
Yeah, it was last week.
I mean, you know, 1 minute, your team's winning. You know, you're up. 3-0 and you think, whoa, and they're waving the sky and they're shouting and cheering and they're, oh, this is fantastic. That's at half time. Come out and start playing again and all of a sudden they've gone down to 6-3, down. Oh, and they've only got a few minutes left to play and what happens? You see them, they wrap the scarves around the neck, zip the coats up and start going home. Where's all this at half time? We're on top of the world. We, you know, we are the greatest, you know. And they're not there. They're going home now. Them that were shouting the loudest because they were 3-0 up, now they're 6-3 down.
Yeah,
they're going home. They've had it. I'm going getting out of car park first. I'm not sitting in this lot. And off they go. They've gone from the highs to the very low. They've gone from the emotionally elated to the absolutely depressed. Gone home now to drown the sorrows. Gone for some other sustenance to help support them in their time of need. And it's like... And so, that's the way of the world. It's ruled by the emotions. So, people, when their emotions are all over the place, they're not going to listen to us. I mean, I know people that didn't listen to me for a long time.
I know. I'm touching with a sharp stick.
Thank you, Mum.
Oh, dear. But now we know that the spirit of truth, and the difference between the spirit of truth and the spirit of error, when the spirit of truth's in you, it sits well.
It does.
It sits well.
It does, I can feel it.
That's right. It's just there. You say, yeah, that's right. You feel it. It sits well. And you say, thank God for that. When you're not sure about it, it troubles you. But when it's truth, it sits well. You may not understand it with your minds and your emotion, but in your spirit, it sits well. And at some stage, it will come to an understanding because you'll have gone through a process with it.
See, God wants, well, Jesus wants peace inside. We've got to have that peace, haven't we?
He can only bring peace.
He can't function any other way.
He can only bring peace. When he comes back in Revelation, as they talk about, he's riding, he's the Prince of Peace. He's the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. Mm-hmm. Yeah, people often sort of try and describe him as the warrior, but he said it's finished. It's finished. Well, what about the battle that would rage? Hey, God only needs to speak a word. Mm-hmm. Consider Elisha and his servant. Consider that one. We're surrounded. He's in a panic. You know, he's gone and tried to disturb Elisha's peace. He's relaxing in the presence of God. He knows exactly what's going on. He's the prophet. He's the seer. And his servant comes in and he's railing. We're going to die. They're going to kill us. You know, he's like, and all these negative thoughts. What are we going to do? You know, and he says, oh Lord, open his eyes. He says, go on, have another look. Of angelic beings surrounding them, far outnumbering this small army, suddenly becomes brave. Bring them on, bring them on. And they become blinded. And picture this, right? Picture this, because this is what will have happened, I'm sure. This servant, he will be cowering in the corner beforehand. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? We're going to kill us. We're going to die. We're going to die. What's going to happen? You know? I don't want to die. I don't want to die. Honest, please. Don't let me die. Now, they've been blinded. There he is. He gets up and chest is stuck out. And he's, come on then. Take my hand and everybody grab yours. Come on, I'm going to take you to the king. And he's leading. Can you imagine? Just when I walk into Jerusalem with these behind me, just look, you know. And Elijah just shrugs his shoulders and thinks, yeah.
Well, the king says, shall I kill him, didn't he? And
exactly.
He said, no, how can you kill someone? He just walked in.
Absolutely, but, you know, the servant would have, it'd have been, look at this, what we've done, you see. I haven't done a thing but hide in a corner. But the emotional change in him, you see, would have been so much so. Can you imagine that happening? I'm sure it would have happened. But he was just like, oh, what am I going to do? And then suddenly it's like, yeah, come on, yeah, it's up to you, come on, I can whip you lot. He'd do it because they couldn't see him, could they? You know? He'd be being bravado with it all and never fought in his life, but hey, when you can't see your enemy, you can't hit him, can you? Grab my hand, I'll show you where we're going. Marches into Jerusalem with a load of soldiers behind him. Somebody says, what happened? Oh, you want to see what we did? But when God's in charge, you see.
I mean, look, when he killed all them soldiers, when they woke up next morning, there were 80,000 that were dead or something in... come against Hezekiah,
weren't
it?
Mm.
We're all
laid
dead.
Yeah. This, so
God don't need an army to
exactly.
To
that's the point we were making, weren't it? So that when Jesus comes back, what's God going to do? Speak a word. That's all he needs to do. You know, there's that hymn, isn't there? When Jesus, he could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free, but he didn't, did he? Jesus could have said, this is as far as I'm going. I cannot go any further. But he submitted to the will of his Father. The fact that the power of God is so great and the strength of man is so small that there's no measure between them. And this is who we worship. We worship this God who can speak a word and the waves and the wind obey him. Speak a word and God creates the sun, the moon and the stars. Wow. I just think it's fantastic.
It is.
We could go on all night, but we better not. Yes, we better pray a little for